Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. As promised, Alaska Live is here, and I'm your host. I'm Lori Neufeld. My guests today, Katie Cox and Andy Springer. Thanks for joining me. You're guest artists at the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival, and it's so nice to have you here at the KUAC studios today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Happy to be here.
And you are members of the new music group Corvus, and that is, describe new music for us real quick, because not everybody, you know, that doesn't ring a bell to some people. They're just like, what, new? Sure, it's new to me.
Exactly. And part of what we are trying to do here at Festival, having a new music ensemble and doing these shows and getting out there doing our outreach, is to try to help people understand what that is. New music can be very hard to describe because it's not one thing. It's not one specific thing. It's a huge, huge genre. And I like to say that we focus on playing music by living composers. So if we're using that as a definition of new music, that could mean, it could even encompass, you know, pop, you know, or some jazz or contemporary classical, avant-garde, experimental, improvisation, all of those things. And we try to incorporate many different styles of music within that genre of new music when we're thinking about programming our concerts up here in Alaska.
Hear a little bit of that today too, because one of the pieces that I'm going to be playing, Turanga, has a lot of influences.
And Katie, you are the flutist,
yes.
And Andy, who is just speaking, plays violin, and so you're going to be playing on flute a piece called what?
Turanga. Ooh. which is based on a Cuban salsa that has Afro-Cuban roots. So you're going to really hear kind of these blending of different styles and genres of music, but it still is under that umbrella of what we call new music.
Because you're taking world influences and or the composers are taking world influences and using them in their music too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's not just that new music is specific to America.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost as though the term new music is becoming almost too difficult to use, in the same way that world music is really actually kind of a silly thing to say too, because aren't we all citizens of the world, you know?
Right.
And we, especially in the last several, you know, decades, have been making these connections across the globe from different countries to country and styles. And I mean, really, it's all just the same. We're playing music.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing music. And we come from a classical tradition as performers. We've both been classically trained on our instruments. And I believe that informs our approach to new music. But certainly, having been pushed to try different styles, different techniques through playing more contemporary stuff, that has informed our classical performance as well. And I also like to always mention that I believe it, my impression based on what I've heard from communities and audiences, is that I think there's a preconceived notion of new music being two things: A, separate from the classical tradition, and B, what I like to call bleep bloop music. You know what I mean? And I think people feel kind of afraid, and, you know, I don't know, I'm not going to like it. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be atonal. It's going to be harsh and all of these things. And I like to remind our audiences, and myself too, is that this is just all the same trajectory, all the same thing. You know, the pieces that you're going to hear today wouldn't exist if we didn't have Philip Glass and John Cage. They wouldn't be doing what they did if there wasn't Schoenberg, Stockhausen, all those guys. They wouldn't be doing, you know.
Our own Fairbanks, Luther Adams.
And you're going to hear a piece by him today,
fact.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. And I think a good composer or a good artist is always acknowledging and respecting their tradition while then trying to make it their own and push it and create something new.
Well, let's hear one of those pieces. I know, Andy, you're up first, and what are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a piece by a wonderful composer. She is based in New York, but is currently a professor of composition at Wesleyan University. Her name's Paula Mathewson. This is a special piece, and I want to make very clear that this was commissioned by another violinist named Michi Wianco, and she's really wonderful. This is part of a larger commissioning and recording project of her, so it's very, very generous and special that she's letting me play it. The piece is called Lullaby for Dead Horse Bay. One thing that Paula does a lot as a composer is she incorporates field recordings of various sites, and she's been doing a big project on the New York Aqueduct. And so I'll just read this beautiful little intro that Paula wrote. Dead Horse Bay is as intriguing of a site as its name suggests. This moniker harkens to a time period when horses were heavily integrated into the workings of New York City, as their bodies were processed at plants on the distant outskirts of Brooklyn. The evolution of the bay trailed along the transformations of the gigantic city it supported as a site of refuse until a landfill cap burst in the 1950s. Time and circumstance transforms buried objects into artifacts and remind us that our most quotidian objects outlive us. By placing microphones inside bottles found on its beach and amplifying them, these vessels produce tones through feedback. The ebb and flow of the waves on the beach also excite these accumulated chambers. So what you'll be hearing is those recordings from inside the glass vessels and also some live violin.
So during this piece, Andy, you have brought in a Bluetooth speaker, and that provides those sounds from the bottles and that you just described. So you are playing along with that.
Yep.
Excellent. This is Andy Springer from the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival here on KUAC's Alaska Live. Thank you. just letting that sink in for a bit. That recording with your violin, Andy, created such an amazing soundscape that sounded both ancient and modern all at the same time.
Oh, that's such a cool thing to hear. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, ancient music, you know, sometimes has that, like, maybe eerie, you know, simple one stringed violin. And a lot of times mm-hmm. it seems like you're playing on one string on your violin.
That's correct. And yeah, there were no double stops. It was all single notes. And she specifically asks for no vibrato as well. So it's this straight tone that I think is also reminiscent of kind of a Gregorian sort of chant, mm-hmm. you know, or you hear medieval music sung with a straight tone, and it's very arresting. You know, we're not used to hearing that.
But it totally pulls you in. And that piece had melodic times, too, where it was not unexpected what came next, mm-hmm. which I like sometimes. You know, I like both in a piece, if it's new music, mm-hmm. You know, the unexpected and, oh, that resolves into something that's familiar, too. And yeah. So what was the name of that piece again?
Lullaby for Dead Horse Bay. Mm. And Paul is just so skilled in all those ways that we're talking about. I mean, I don't know anyone's music that sounds like this. She's able to say so much in such simple terms, you know. And on the concert on which I played this for the first time, it was just a couple weeks ago, she also had this unbelievable piece for two percussionists, a big tub of water that was amplified, and they were playing like gongs and then dipping them into the water, and then it was picking up the vibrations from in there, and it was just incredible. She has such an interesting way of blending the live performance technology, modern technology, and then these, like you were saying, ancient elements. And she was talking about the old bottles from so long ago, you know.
I had Ensemble 64.8 in here one time, and they wanted to bring into the studio a big vat of, you know, big Rubbermaid container of water and do the gong thing in there. And I said, yes, but you're going to have to play it out in the hall with a microphone out there, because there is no way our KUAC engineers are going to say, sure, bring
a bunch of water into the studio.
Gallons of water into around our sound equipment. So they did that, and it worked out great, but it was hilarious. It was like, yeah, can we just roll a big Rubbermaid container of water down enough for a gong to fit in? I said, well, let me think about that.
Yeah.
Andy Springer and Katie Cox are here from the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival, new music wing of the Summer Arts Festival. Mm-hmm. And you are both Fairbanks born and raised, right? And so that you grew up here and now have gone on to careers away from here, but now you get to come home every summer and do this. How special is that, Katie?
Super. Super special. Yeah. I mean, I just feel so lucky that I get to come back and share with the community and the people here that gave me so much when I was growing up, and come back and perform the music that I love and get to share and give back, you know. So, it's a really wonderful and special thing for us to get to come back here.
And by come back, you live in Brooklyn these days.
I do, yep.
That has to be a great place for experimental mm-hmm. music and new music, and probably inspired by some cityscapes there too, even.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. People ask me, you know, growing up in Alaska, like, how can you live in the city? But, you know, there's just... Alaska is really extreme too, you know, and intense in its own way, but the city is as well. And I think that I just love intensity. I mean, like, and extremes. And you know, the city is also really inspiring too. I mean, there's just so many people there. There's such an energy. It's so vibrant. There's always something going on, and especially in music and anything in the arts there. So, you know, and that really feeds me. To be there and experience that. And then I love coming back here and just being around the wonderful community here, because this is where I grew up, but also just driving down the parks of the Richardson and seeing the gorgeous mountains that, I mean, it's always so much more beautiful than I remember, and it never gets old. So
we always talk about the light here, the angle of the light, the intensity of the light, mm-hmm. or the lowness of the light in winter. And I think that that lends itself to that new music feel also, just like a New York or Brooklyn cityscape would.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Katie, you have a piece also.
I do, yes.
And I'm intrigued to hear this whole thing because I heard just a snippet of it during soundcheck. Uh-huh. And so, listeners, you are in for a treat here on Alaska Live with Katie Cox and her flute.
Yeah, so the piece is called Turanga. It's by a composer who recently passed away, but he lived in Buffalo, New York. So he's a New Yorker. And the piece is a salsa that has Afro-Cuban roots, and there's a lot of flute in Latin music. So the piece is really fun because I get to really experiment a lot with what we kind of call new music techniques or extended techniques on the flute. You're going to hear a lot of sounds that aren't traditional to the flute. I get to kind of be my own salsa band. I have some percussive sounds that I'm going to make with the flute, and then some kind of high sounds that you hear a lot in flute when you're listening to Latin jazz, with these big kind of intricate riffs, and some of it kind of will sound a little improvisatory. So I hope you enjoy it.
Thanks. This is Katie Cox from the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival performing right here in the KUAC studios on Alaska Live.
Thank you.
Yeah. Katie Cox performing here at the KUAC Alaska Live Studios, and she is part of the New Music Summer Arts Festival guest artists. What an amazing piece that was. And when you're describing that you get to be your own mariachi band, it did not sound like that was just you there, but I have to assure the listeners, absolutely, that was just you and your flute.
Yeah. Yep.
Because at times it did very much sound like there were two of you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the point that the composer wanted, is that I was kind of accompanying myself as if I had like this, you know, like the claves and, you know, the congas that were kind of backing me up. And I'm just kind of supposed to kind of solo over the top of that. So I had to kind of switch a lot from that.
And you think, you know, guitarists make it look easy where they're just thumping on the guitar and then they can play a little bit more. Uh-huh. And violinists can do that also. Uh-huh. But with flute, yeah, it's a bit different because it's your breath that has to do that every time and simultaneously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you heard me there, but there was a lot of moments where I was like, I mean, just taking in a lot of air to get through it. So, yeah.
Because you play a lot of notes and simultaneous notes without taking a breath for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they say that the flute takes more air than any other instrument,
wow,
which, you know, tubists will get in an argument with me about that. But, I mean, I'm not a tuba player, so I can't really say.
Oh, those brass instruments.
I know. But, yeah, you definitely have to have some, like, lungs of steel to play any woodwind, actually. So, yeah.
You grew up here in Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. Did you study under Dorley?
I did, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She does some of the new music along with the classics, along with the pops music. And so I feel like that created some well-rounded education for you.
Oh, totally. I mean, Dorley is such an inspiration and what kind of started it all. And I'm excited for...
She's here at UAF, at part of the music department here.
Yeah. And she's actually going to be playing in the symphony for festival. So I'm just... You know, it's just full circle, you know, coming back and I get to play next to Dorley again. but it's going to be great.
And Andy and Katie, you're both from Fairbanks. Did you grow up playing in youth orchestra and then Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra also?
Yep. Oh, yeah. We did it all, you know, and as a string player, I did Suzuki lessons, group class. Then I started here doing prep group, junior orchestra, youth symphony, Fairbanks Symphony, Arctic Chamber Orchestra, Fine Arts Camp.
Oh,
Fine
yeah,
Arts Festival.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, what an incredible place to grow up for music, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's done so well for you because you've both gone on to careers in music, mm-hmm, and that's amazing. And one of the things in your career is the Wild Shore New Music Festival, and that's right here in Alaska, mm-hmm, hundreds of miles away. But tell us a little bit about that, because let's take a trip from Fairbanks on down to Katchmack Bay, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Well, we started Wild Shore. I mean, this is going to be our fifth season, so it's kind of amazing to think that we've pulled off five seasons. Well, four, going on five. But
and how does it differ from the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival?
Well, it's smaller, for sure.
Because it's Homer, and it's smaller. Yeah,
and we're still very much so a new organization, and we bring up some chamber musicians from New York and other places, too. We had some of 8th Blackbird that you're going to hear later in this hour, and so we program music that, you know, is inspired by Alaska. Mm-hmm. We've programmed a lot of John Luther Adams' works. We've programmed one of our other founder, Conrad Winslow, is originally from Homer, lives in Brooklyn, and he wrote a piece for us. It's about Homer, which you're also, I believe, going to hear. Is that right? and it's a week long, and we've done concerts at Bunnell Street Arts Center. And this year, we're going to be doing a concert at the Anchorage Museum. We're expanding to Anchorage as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I might add, too, that another way that it's a little bit different is it's, I would say, more of a presenting organization, whereas Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival is very much about registrants taking classes. We do have an educational outreach component to our festival. But it's more like, yeah, it's more of almost a concert series. We do kind of a residency down at Benoit Street Art Center where we're rehearsing, and then we'll do a main stage program there. We'll usually do a run out, do some kid stuff in Kenai, do some lunch bites sort of style things. We've certainly received a lot of inspiration and a lot of support from Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival, which, you know, has been incredible. And as we kind of talk more about the pieces that we'll be hearing, part of what's been really special is that we've kind of joined forces a little bit with festival as far as bringing up guest artists, you know, because Wild Shore is on a shoestring budget, and that's always tricky, but it's been really fun to kind of be in touch with, you know, Robert and Therese, everyone here at the festival, say, okay, what kind of what instruments are you looking for this year? What can we put into Corvus? How can these people work with Wild Shore? Or sometimes we come to them and say, hey, we're bringing these people for Wild Shore. Do you want, you know, would you like to present them as well?
Mm-hmm. Andy, how many years have you been working with Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival? You seem so young, but yet you've got a lot under your belt.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I won't tell you how old I actually am. But I think this is my fifth or sixth summer with Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival since having moved away from Fairbanks. Wow. It kind of started as I was home, you know, in between apartments, traveling or whatever, and like, oh, I'll go play in the orchestra. And I was like, huh, this is awesome. Yeah, so it's just...
So you were a participant for years and years with Fairbanks Summer Arts.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, of course, because, I mean... who wouldn't want to take part in this? There's something for everyone Fairbanks Summer Arts. Yeah. And so now you've been doing the new music part for 5 or 6 years.
Yes. Mm. And that kind of grew out of a couple different avenues. One was, I believe, also due in large part to Wild Shore and seeing the response from the communities down there. And I, you know, I say this all the time, Alaska has so much music. It's a really special place, but, you know, there's not a lot of this kind of contemporary music happening. It used to happen, you know, a little bit more. I know John Cage used to come up here and give lectures and stuff. But anyway, these days, not so much. But I really believe there's an audience for it. And I think that people want it. And so seeing that that was working down there, and then also largely in part, we've been working closely with Stephen Lias, who runs the Composing in the Wilderness program here at Festival. And, you know, that is a really incredible program where he's got 9 composers with him right now. I believe they get back into Fairbanks tomorrow. They've been all over the place, Denali National Park, Yukon Charlie, all those places, and they come back with 9 brand new pieces.
Wow.
You know, and there was really a need for people to premiere those things. Mm-hmm.
And that's part of Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival,
yeah,
too,
it is.
Where it's a Composing in the Wilderness workshop, and you go and you're in nature, and there you are.
It's a really beautiful program. I mean, every year I love seeing the look on the composers' faces when they get up there and they talk about their experiences and the piece that they wrote. And I mean,
there's some tears sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, they just look like they're just changed, you know, and I mean, it's really inspiring and amazing to be a part of that here.
You sent me some pieces, via the internet. And so should we share one of those? Are you ready to?
Yeah, I think that's a great time to do it.
Okay.
So we've mentioned the name Conrad Winslow previously. He's the third co-founder of Wild Shore New Music. And he wrote this piece for the Wild Shore New Music Ensemble, essentially. The first year, that was built out of many members from the ensemble that's called Transit, that's based in New York. It's kind of fun because Katie and I were both in that and on this recording, as well as Joe Bergen, who is the Corvus percussionist this year. So it's like all these little like webs connecting everyone.
Full circle.
Yeah. And this piece, so this was written for the inaugural season of Wild Shore New Music. It's called Sonata for a Northern Sea Town. This is the second movement called Carrie.
Well, it's called
The Cosmic the Something.
Sonata for Northern Sea Town is the second movement. It's part of the Cosmic Hamlet.
Ah, there we go.
Is the full piece. And who else is on this recording, Andy? Because it's you and I, and then Vicky Chow. She is the pianist with the Bang on a Can All Stars. Just a fabulous pianist. Mm-hmm. Joe Bergen, Evelyn
Farney, and Eileen Mack. And I would say, yeah. And they've all been to Alaska. They've all been to Wild Shore one or more times, and some of them up in Fairbanks as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll hear this recording from Conrad Winslow, right?
Yes, Conrad Winslow.
You're tuned to KUAC's Alaska Live. Katie Cox and Andy Springer are here, and you played as part of that piece from Conrad Winslow, and that was a performance that was at the Wild Shore New Music Festival,
mm-hmm.
Also an Alaska festival centered around new music. And you are Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival guest artists here, and you have a show tonight, correct?
That's right. Yep. That's right. This will be Corvus's first performance in Fairbanks of this festival, and we'll be performing on the Faculty Chamber Music Concert tonight, Pioneer Park Theater at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of great music tonight. Corvus specifically will be performing two pieces, one by a wonderful composer from California named Nick Benavides, who arranged this piece specifically for our ensemble this year, and also a piece by a really cool composer and steel pan player, Andy Akiho.
Nice. Mm-hmm. The name Corvus, I love the name you chose. I don't know who chose it, but ravens are my favorite bird because they stay around Fairbanks year-round, and they are so musical in good mimickers, and they just... their vocalizations are so amazing.
That's
true. So Corvus and Raven, that kind of goes together, right?
Yeah, we think so.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like little tricksters and, you know, I don't know. They're so they're such creative animals too, you know.
They're smart birds too.
And they just came out with the fact that they did study where they can plan for the future. Ravens can plan for the future. They will keep a token for a better treat later instead of taking the treat that is offered to them right then.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
They're such smart birds. And they do. They mimic so well. And so Corvus is the name of your ensemble. And we just heard from a recording of an ensemble called Transit, which both Katie and Andy, you guys are part of.
Mm-hmm.
And... you have another piece for us. Andy, you have another piece with the violin, right?
I do.
Oh, should
I
we do that?
Sure. I love playing this piece. This is a movement of a piece for solo violin by our very own John Luther Adams. And
Pulitzer Prize winning Luther
Adams. Pulitzer Prize winning John Luther Adams, I might add. And it's just such a special piece. I know it is to a lot of people. It's very special to me because, you know, earlier we were mentioning all the incredible opportunities Katie and I both had here growing up in Fairbanks. And one of the most incredible opportunities I had was to perform with the Fairbanks Symphony and the Arctic Chamber Orchestra for several years in high school. And I'll never forget, I think it was my sophomore or junior year, there was an interim year in between conductors before we got Edward, and Gordon Wright came back for a year.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was just so cool. I didn't know. I mean, he programmed such interesting stuff. I'll never forget the holiday concert. You know, here Fairbanks was expecting the Messiah, and instead they got these really cool little vignettes that Gordon had written about Alaska animals, and then there was a John Luther Adams, The Light That Fills the World, and I had never seen music like that. It was pages and pages of whole notes. But it was this huge wash of sound that was just an incredible experience to be inside of that in the orchestra. And it was really my first introduction to non-traditional classical music, you know. And John and Gordon were best friends. And he wrote this piece. It's dedicated to Gordon.
Well, thank goodness for the late, great Gordon Wright for introducing you to that.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah.
He was a really incredible person. So this piece is three movements. It's called The Wind in High Places. Again, it's dedicated to Gordon Wright, and it's evocative of actual physically high places in the state. And the movement that I'm going to play is called McLaren Summit. I might add one more thing, too. A really neat thing to note about this piece is that for those of you who are familiar with string playing, there are no actual stopped notes in this piece. I never actually press the string all the way to the fingerboard. It's entirely harmonics and naturally occurring harmonics on the violin. Okay, McLaren Summit.
This is Andy Springer playing violin from the new music group from Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival here on KUAC's Alaska Live. Summit that was played by Andy Springer and composed by John Luther Adams, and all about the high places in Alaska in our Arctic regions. Gorgeous.
Thank you.
And that was so mesmerizing. How, as a musician, do you keep from getting hypnotized or mesmerized by that kind of repetitive music, and how do you not lose your place?
That's a good question. Well, with this one, there's so, and with all the pieces, I mean, we have that actual mechanical element to it. Like, you know, okay, how am I gonna get there? Like, okay, I gotta know there's this many of this before I move my hand here and then move the bow there. And like the thing about this one is, and if you see the music, the patterns actually are always changing. You know, am I playing a single note? Am I oscillating between two notes, three notes, four notes, arpeggios, and that. And so this one, I think it changes enough that it's pretty easy to keep my place. But there's other music that's much harder to keep your place in, you know.
Because you're not always playing alone, so we wouldn't know if you had lost your place necessarily. John Luther Adams would, but...
He would.
But if you're playing like as a member of Corvus, if you lose your place, somebody else is going to move on without you.
Yep. And, you know, that's actually one of the things that Corvus is doing here at Festival is we're teaching 20th and 21st century chamber music, which is a really fun class you can sign up for. And what we've given the registrants so far this year is a Philip Glass piece, Music in Similar Motion. And you look at it on the page and you're like, oh, well, it's like five notes, you know, I can do that. But it is so hard to stay where you are, because the piece is about, you know, 3 pages long. There's about 4 rehearsal numbers per page, and each rehearsal number, each cell repeats. Traditionally, I think it's about 12 times, and then you move on and it just changes a little bit in the next one. And you do that 12 times, you move on just a little bit, and it's really, really hard to keep your place.
But and then, if you stay put and somebody else moves on, it's obvious.
It is very obvious. It can throw the whole thing off the rails. And I, you know, this is a way of using your brain. It's a, definitely a test of stamina and concentration. And then when it ends and you all end on a dime, it is so satisfying.
A lot of that minimalistic music is like that. I mean, I, you know, practicing the traditional classical stuff has its own challenges, mm-hmm. for sure. But I mean, when I first started playing some of this kind of music, I mean, it was just a completely different kind of challenge. And another composer who writes some of that stuff that is also very challenging mentally is David Lang. And he has some of that same stuff where mm-hmm. it's just like, you have to just have your head in the game so hard. And you know, the problem with that is that if you do get off, it's really hard to get back on.
Yeah.
To find your place again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So there's a kind of an expression that we came up with last year about playing chamber music is it's just a bunch of trust falls. You know, we all of us kind of have to like have each other's back because, you know, it's live music. Anything can happen.
And speaking of live music, on Tuesday, the 25th, so next Tuesday, the Sounds of Nature concert, the Alaskan premieres. How do you all get on the same page when you are presented with this new music from the Composers in the Wilderness workshop and you haven't had all that long to study it? How do you all get on the same page and perform it in front of an audience and make it so it sounds polished, new, refreshing, mm-hmm. all of these things?
Well, it's a big challenge, and it's extremely exciting as well. Mm-hmm. So to give listeners an idea of our timeline here, the composers are getting back tomorrow night, Thursday night, and they'll have the evening. You know, they've been writing with pencil and paper, which is not that common anymore, and a big challenge for them, to write a piece in a week and write it by hand. So tomorrow night they'll come home and put the parts into the computer and make parts for us. Friday morning we're on, and we will read through all 9 pieces on Friday with the composers present, which is also usually pretty stressful to read something for the first time in front of the composer.
We're sight reading
but we just don't have, we sight read it right in front of them, work out any little tiny things we can. Saturday we rehearse. Sunday, you know, technically a day off, but probably won't be. And then Monday we premiere them down in Denali Park. So we've got about two days of actual work time to prepare these. And we come back and do them Tuesday night here in Fairbanks.
At the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship.
Yeah, and it's, you know, something that I've learned about this kind of music, and when you're working with composers, is as a composer, it's, you know, important to have a strong idea of what you want, but of course be flexible to find the solution. But as a performer, you need to help find those solutions. You can't read this piece on Friday and say, well, this doesn't work. You say, well, I see what you want. This isn't going to work. Let's try this. So it's a very collaborative process between the performer and the composer to reach that vision.
So they premiere Monday down at the Visitor Center.
Yep, at the Visitor Center.
At Denali Visitor Center. Mm-hmm. For those folks who are listening that are down in our Denali Park region. And then on Tuesday night, they mm-hmm. premiere here in Fairbanks at the Unitarian Universalist. And that's on 8:30, Sounds of Nature. You also have this wonderful thing called an instrument petting zoo going on down in Denali. Just want to mention, you know, we've had those during Suzuki too mm-hmm. and all these at different times. But what's an instrument petting zoo?
Well, it certainly is a zoo.
That's right.
You know, kids love it.
We just got back from our outreach trip to Salcha and Kenny Lake. And Salcha and Kenny Lake both have those as well. And we also put on a full concert in Kenny Lake on Monday night. It was so fun. We love going down there. And so what those petting zoos, and what we try to do as the petting zoo is we'll half of our time there will be spent doing an interactive performance with the kids and families. You know, this is a family thing. Anybody can come. You know, we'll play, we'll demonstrate our instruments, show them what we can do, what we love to do, you know, work with the kids. And then we put our instruments away and get out the designated petting zoo instruments and help the kids try them. And it's really fun. It's really cute.
It's just a great way. I think, for kids just to be able to hold an instrument, see what it feels like. What does it feel like to hold a bow? What does it feel like to hold a flute? Just really gets them excited and hopefully engages them in a way that they will pursue music. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really kind of the point of the petting zoo. And then, also, it's funny to see some kids that are really just naturals. I mean, flute is really difficult.
I was going to ask that, Katie. Have you found that people are, drawn to it right away and can
absolutely
make a good sound?
Yeah. I mean, flute is one of those instruments that's very hard at first for kids because they just can't get that sound out because you have to blow the air across the head joint and you have to have a certain direction of air to make that sweet sound.
And I'm afraid you make it look easy.
Yeah. Right. Well, I've been playing for 25 years now, but it's, so some kids, they'll just like put the flute up and just have this sound and it's just like, whoa, kind of, I mean,
some of them were practicing on interesting devices. Will you tell them about that?
Oh yeah. Well, this kid, he was just so funny. He says,
Kenny Lake.
He's like, well, I know how to do that, because I always say, well, it's like blowing across a soda bottle or a water bottle. That's how you make a sound. And he says, well, I practice that on my bullet shells. And I was like, okay. And then.
True Alaska kid.
Right. Yeah. Totally. And then he just comes up and it was like, oh, I mean, this like such a centered sound like from a kid. I mean, I never heard anything. I mean, he's just like, oh, yep. And then he moves on and then tried the trombone. So.
And your eyes got wide.
Yeah.
Wait. Come back to the flute.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. But anyway, it was something else.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. It's fun. Katie and I have also done some kids' concerts back in New York. And it's just, I love seeing different associations with sounds and music based on your location. Another thing that some of our city friends thought was interesting yesterday, the city friends being members of Corvus, we've got a couple from New Jersey and Ohio and whatever. And we were talking about what an echo was. And our percussionist Joe says, so what's an echo? And this little girl says, when you yell at the mountains.
Yeah.
City kid wouldn't have said that.
City kid. No. Would a city kid have said when you clap at a building or something?
Maybe. Ooh. But I know Joe thought that was really cool. Yeah. It's just so fun to see the different associations that we get.
Andy Springer and Katie Cox are here from the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival. They're guest artists in the new music category. And I think we have one more recorded piece that you sent me, Katie. Tell us about this. Or Andy.
This is the Shelley Washington, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. So Shelley Washington was a participant last year in the Composing in the Wilderness program. Mm-hmm. And she's actually based in New York right now. And we met her here last year, obviously, for this program, and we asked her to join our team for Wild Shore. So it's kind of just a special little connection there.
Small world.
Small world, mm-hmm. Right. And so she wrote this piece last year, part of the program, and it's for flute, violin, percussion, and horn. And also, we are singing on it. We also sing a little bit. The piece is called...
Their nature.
Their
name. Their name is yours.
Their name is yours. Okay. Yes. And I think you'll enjoy it. You'll definitely hear some sounds of kind of some fiddling and folk singing a little bit. And I think it's a good one.
And both you, Katie, and you, Andy, are on this piece.
Yep, we are.
Yeah, as well as our friends Owen Weaver, who has been at Festival for many years. He's a familiar face. He was in Concert Black. You met him.
Concert Black was here a few years ago here in the Alaska Live studios.
That's right. And then our other friend, Kate Sheeran, on French horn.
Okay. Recording from last year's Composers in the Wilderness show, and that was from Davis Concert Hall, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Katie, that was really amazing. There were a lot of vocals in that, and you know, I don't always think about, oh, right, new music and classical, and you know, there can be vocals as part of the mix too. And that composer, Shelley
Washington,
Shelley Washington, chose to. What are some of the lyrics in that? Do you remember? I heard power and I heard Shawi and...
Well, it's Tell Me a Story. Tell me a story. I don't remember, I wish I could tell you exactly what...
Well, I think it had to do, they were going out, seeing all these new places and learning all these new names for things,
yes.
Both in English and both in indigenous languages. And I think she was really interested to just to explore the concept of naming things and how everything has a story, and the way we talk about things and the way we think about things has to do so much with language as well and the words we use to describe them.
And you'll be on stage tonight at Pioneer Park Theater, mm-hmm. and that gets rolling at 8 o'clock, right?
Yep.
And it's with Corvus.
Yeah, and also
a
classical.
Lot of others, yes.
There'll be the classical chamber music faculty as well.
Yes.
And so it's going to be a really varied and exciting program.
Yeah.
I'm excited too because we'll be doing the two pieces with Corvus by mm-hmm. Nick Benavides and Andy Kehoe, and then Charlie Akert, who's another Fairbanks original, he's our cellist in Corvus this year. Charlie and I were just at another festival run by Ian Scarf, the Trinity Alps Chamber Music Festival, where we put together the Mendelssohn D minor piano trio, and we'll be playing that tonight too. So Charlie and I get to wear both our classical and our new music hats tonight.
Great. I think maybe Charlie was on Alaska Live with Ian, I'm not quite sure, but I remember Ian's been on a few times, mm-hmm. and you've been on, Andy, mm-hmm. with Concert Black, and Katie, it's nice to have your debut here, and
great.
You guys have such a familiarity with each other, but one of you went to Lathrop and one of you went to West
mm-hmm.
Valley,
mm-hmm.
so you didn't go to high school together, but music.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, so my mom was a teacher at Lathrop, and so she kind of pulled me in that direction. Wanted me to go there. But we were, and still are neighbors, actually. We grew up right next to each other.
But not here in Fairbanks.
In Fairbanks we did. Yeah. Yeah.
And your neighbors now.
And
now
we're neighbors now in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Andy really got me to move out to New York about almost 5 years ago. And I lived in LA for about 7 years. And I was just ready for a change. She's like, just come out to New York. There's so much great music here.
Yeah.
And so I just, I just did it. And we were actually roommates for a little while. And then, I mean, we just live in this wonderful neighborhood in Brooklyn. It's called Ditmas Park, and there's these beautiful trees and these beautiful houses. And I mean, you actually don't really feel like you're in a city, but the subway's right there and,
great.
20 minute ride and you're in Union Square. So,
nice.
It's great to be neighbors for all of our lives almost.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sweet. Well, we're going to go out on a piece from, Eighth Blackbird, right? And tell us about that.
Well, this is Eighth Blackbird's recording of the Philip Glass Music in Similar Motion, which you can hear our registrants and new music faculty perform next Wednesday night at the Registrant Chamber Music Concert. So we're actually, when we leave the studio, we'll head on over to class and coach them a little bit on the glass. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun doing that. We have a lot of different instruments, and we're adding some electric organ to it today, which will be neat. And
nice.
So we'll be doing the glass next week, as well as another piece by a Mexican composer called Game, which is very, very different. We could talk about that for hours. But to get a little taste of what you can hear and what our registrants will be working very hard on, this is going to be, Philip Glass's Music in Similar Motion performed by Eighth Blackbird.
We'll hear that after the credits. And Katie Cox, so nice to have you here. Look forward to seeing you at the various venues you're playing with the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival. Andy Springer, thanks for coming back to Alaska Live and helping me set this up today. It's been wonderful.
Well, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you so much.
For KUAC's Alaska Live, I'm your host. I'm Lori Neufeld. Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, strengthening the community through support of the arts.